There's a panel with about 6 dozen levers and 8 mechanical indicator dials on it, all crude-looking industrial titanium castings with rough edges. Ramona settles in her seat and waves a hand signal at the nearest diver. There's a lurch, and the seat drops under her. A loud metallic grating sound follows, felt as much as heard, and she glances round to watch the huge metal harness grip the pipe string. I feel a pressure in her ears, and I swallow for her. The pipe is rising through the docking collar. No, the platform I'm sitting on is sinking, about as fast as an elevator car. The great wheels grip the pipe, held in place to either side by hydraulic clamps. I manage to prod her into looking up. The moon pool and the ship merge into a dark fish-shaped silhouette against a deep blue sky, already darkening towards a Stygian night, broken only by the spotlights that ridge the spine of the huge grab we're riding on. It's odd how Ramona's senses differ from my own. I can feel the pressure around me, but it's different from the way it feels to me in my own skin. Waves of sound move across me, sounds too low or too high-pitched to hear with my own ears. Ramona can sense them in the small bones of her skull, though. There are distant clicking hunting noises from marine mammals, strange sizzling and clattering noises. Krill, tiny crustaceans floating in the high waters like a swarm of locusts grazing on the green phytoplankton. And then there are the deep bass whoops and groans of the whales, growing abruptly louder as we drop below a thermocline. The water on my exposed face is suddenly cold, and there's a sense of pressure on my skull, but a few deep gulps of water flushing through my gills clears it. Ramona swallows seawater as well as breathing it, letting it flood her stomach and feeling the chill as it infiltrates her gut. Rarely used muscles twitch painfully into life, forcing strange structures to realign themselves. "How are you taking this?" she asks me. "I'll cope," I tell her. The light outside our charmed circle of lamps has dimmed to a faint twilight. In the distant murk, I spot a grey belly nudging past, possibly a deep-ranging tiger shark or something less well-known. The pipe rolls endlessly up through the docking harness.
"Dive stable at 1 meter per second, Ramona tells Billington.
I lie back, do the math. It's going to take us a little over an hour to reach the abyssal plain where Jennifer Morgue II lies broken and desolate beneath 400 atmospheres of pressure, on a bed of grey ooze that's been accreting since before hairless apes slouched across the plains of Africa. There's something soothing about the motion of the pipe string. Once every few minutes, Ramona opens my mouth and murmurs something technical. Some of the time, Billington turns and relays an instruction or two to the ever-present flunky waiting at his shoulder. I lapse into a dreamy, near-hypnotized state. I know something's wrong, that I shouldn't be this relaxed under the circumstances, but a great sense of lassitude has come over me as our entanglement nears completion. Lie back and think of England. Where the hell did that come from? I blink and try to throw back the sense of disengagement.
Ramona, shut up and let me concentrate here.
She's working two of the levers, and there's a loud clank bump that I feel more than hear.
Okay, that's it.
We resume our descent, passing an odd bulge where the pipe triples in diameter for about 3 meters, like a python that's just swallowed a small pig.
What is it?
What do we do after you raise the artifact?
What do...
She stops.
We get disentangled, right?
Yes, but what then? I persist. For some reason, I feel dizzy when I try to follow this line of reasoning. I can almost sense my own body again, see Billington leaning over me expectantly, like an eager cultist inspecting his dead leader for signs of imminent resurrection. Aren't we supposed to do... something?
Oh, you mean kill Ellis, massacre his guards, and set the ship on fire before making our escape on jet skis?
She says brightly.
Something like that.
A thought bubbles up to the surface of my mind and pops, half-heartedly.
You gave that a lot of thought, huh? The jet skis are on sea deck, and there are only two of them. I've got to get Pat out of here. I'm afraid you'll have to make your own arrangements, she says briskly. But yeah, I can definitely nail Billington. The penny drops, icy and cold, right down the back of my metaphorical net. You've been planning this as a hit on Billington right from the start. Well, that's the whole point of my being here, isn't it? Why else would they send an assassin? I mean, duh.